the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
Everybody, listen carefully.
This guy gets it.
Radio has changed our lives and
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Yusis Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Rocky Grimaldi of the Nashville Predators.
And you're listening to the Renegades of Puck.
Broadcasting live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. And against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news, highlights, scores, and more.
This is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie. Welcome to Smashville.
Time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. Playoff madness fully setting in here as we take over the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny, and the Renegades of Puck are all in the trenches today to start not only a brand new week here on Predneck Nation Radio, but also to preview what has finally come to Game 1 of the Nashville Predators at the Carolina Hurricanes in the 1-4 Central Division matchup. Very much looking forward to finally getting things underway. After all, the Nashville Predators and Carolina Hurricanes have not been on the ice for a full week. UC Soros has not gotten a start in 9 days. And for the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes, it is about time to finally get back to incredibly meaningful hockey. Mastrodamas will be in the second period. Of course, you will hear from Sean C. Smith in the third period. Brian Bassin will join me with one big stat before the end of this show. And the ultimate one is back to get you all set up for Game 1 tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. Remember, you can always join and interact with this show by following us on Twitter at Renegades of Puck. You can also give us a like and check out the live video feed from the Command and Control Center here from the Renegades of Puck on Facebook, and we certainly would appreciate you doing that. Give this radio station the support that it deserves. Having hockey coverage on Monday through Friday, if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are on Nashville Sports Radio. This radio station has stepped out on that ledge to bring you the coverage that you have demanded for 20-plus years. Now let them know that you are fully supporting them by going to at Nash Sports Radio on Twitter and giving them a follow, giving them a like, and retweeting and passing along those links every time you see one come out from the Renegades of Puck. Also, Facebook is another great option for Nashville Sports Radio, and WNSR.com is where you want to go to stream the show completely live for free, as well as find out more information about this here radio show, information on the hosts, the co-hosts, the merchandise link, and well beyond. Also, you can get links to the 500-plus previous episodes of Predneck Nation Radio, well over 10 years of partnership here with Nashville Sports Radio, and we are so proud to be leading morning drive and afternoon drive here at Nashville Sports Radio during the most critical time of the year, which is playoff madness for the National Hockey League. One more, download that WNSR app. It is also completely for free, and it streams the show anywhere in the universe. It allows you to take the show with you out there on the road, out there mowing the lawn. It doesn't make a difference. Take the WNSR app with you, so make sure you're downloading that. 560 AM and 95.9 FM over the air all throughout Middle Tennessee. 107.9 sounds incredible as you're headed through Smyrna down into the borough and beyond along I-24, and 103.9 in Drakesboro, Kentucky. Always simulcasting the show at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., and we certainly do appreciate each and every one of our great Renegades of Puck up there in Kentucky listening over the air and also listening online at WNSR.com. The Nashville Predators are the number 4 seed in the Central Division, and the NHL playoffs are well underway after an incredible week weekend of opening games and action, the Predators finally get themselves an opportunity to get on the ice. The number four seed in the Central Division finished the regular season with a record of 31-23-2. On the road, where the Nashville Predators will be tonight, they had a record of an even 500, 13-13-2. Of course, the Nashville Predators are taking on the number one seed in the Central Division, the Carolina Hurricanes. A record of 36-12-8 is how the Carolina Hurricanes finished the season. They won the Central Division and they competed for the President's Trophy up until the final games of the regular season. 80 points is what they finished with, and a highly impressive record on home ice, a record of 20 victories, 3 losses, and 5 overtime losses. When it comes to the series coming up, tonight, of course, is Game 1 at Carolina, and then Wednesday night will be Game 2 in Carolina. Friday night, we'll see the Nashville Predators hosting the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena, and what an incredible weekend it's going to be for Games 3 and 4 Friday, and then into Sunday, the 23rd, will be Game 4. And, of course, I have to use this phrasing. I believe it is legally required at this point. Game 5, if necessary, would take place on Tuesday night, the 25th, and that, of course, would be at Carolina. Game 6 also, if necessary, would take place on Thursday, the 27th, would be back here at Bridgestone Arena, and Game 7 would take place on the 29th at Carolina. Taking a look inside the numbers between these two teams, it was a rather lopsided regular season series up until the final two games of the regular season. The Nashville Predators finished with a record of 2-5-1 against Carolina in the regular season, taking 5 out of the possible 16 points, and they were outscored 24-17. Going all the way back and quickly reviewing that regular season series, the individual games, it was the first meeting of the year on the 18th of January when the Nashville Predators fell to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-2 on home ice. They would do that by the same score again in the next meeting all the way up on March the 2nd. Delays in the Carolina Hurricanes season is the reason they did not have that initial back-to-back. It would be the 9th of March when the Preds would go to Carolina for the first time and suffer a 3-2 overtime loss and then drop the next game 5-1. Two more games at Carolina would see the Preds lose 4-1, then 3-1. So the Nashville Predators went to Carolina for four straight games in this regular season series and were only able to come up with one out of 8 points. And of course, we all remember the Nashville Predators wrapping up the regular season schedule against the Carolina Hurricanes just last weekend. It was the 8th of May when the Nashville Predators got their first season victory against this Carolina Hurricanes team, a 3-1 victory to clinch a playoff spot and ensure that the Nashville Predators would be in this first round series. And then, of course, in what was essentially an elevated taxi squad game, but it was more important than that to all of us here in Nashville because it was Pekka-Rinne night on the 10th of May, the Nashville Predators with a 5-0 victory over the Carolina Hurricanes. That's where your two regular season victories come for the Nashville Predators. So any confidence to be gained, the Nashville Predators hopefully did that in those two games at Bridgestone Arena. Certainly felt the emotion from the crowd and a proper send-off for the Nashville Predators heading off to Game 1 of this series. Inside the end of the season statistics for these two teams, of course, it's going to be incredibly lopsided, but everything resets starting tonight. For the Nashville Predators, they finished the season with 2.70 goals for on the season. That was 21st in the NHL. Their goals against was 2.75. That was 11th. Shots for 30th in the NHL, 13th in the league. Shots against at 31.3 is 24th. Their power play finished at 23rd overall in the NHL, 17.6%. And aside from a brief hot streak with Tolvanen, Forsberg, and Josi, the power play was underwhelming at best this entire season. The penalty kill was behind the eight ball from the very start and finished right in that very same position. 29th overall at the end of the year, converting 75.4% on the penalty kill. That will not get things done in the playoffs. But the Nashville Predators penalty kill unit was showing some upside in the most recent stretches of hockey, including against this Carolina Hurricanes team, which the special teams for this Carolina Hurricanes, number 2 and number 3 overall in the NHL at the end of the regular season, their power play converting at 25.6% and their penalty kill 85.2%. All of the other metrics for this Carolina Hurricanes team also very impressive. 3.13 goals per game is good for 11th best in the NHL at the end of this season. Goals against at 2.39 is 5th best. Shots for 32 is 5th best. And shots against at 28.2, 7th best in the NHL. So aside from goals for, the Carolina Hurricanes have a statistical metric in the top 10 in every single one of these categories. They also have the home ice advantage, and they have been built building for the last couple of years to get to this point to where they are in control and they are hosting a team and looking forward to moving on. If you went ahead and watched the 2-3 matchup last night, you already know just how good these Central Division playoffs potentially are going to be. In the 2-3 matchup last night, we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning defeating the Florida Panthers on the road 5-4 with a late goal. This game was back and forth all night, highly physical scrums after each and every whistle. And for a series that I feel like I have hyped up for the majority of the season, the 2-3 matchup, I didn't really need to know which teams were going to be in there. I just knew it was going to be a high quality series. The Battle of Florida, the first time ever, that game delivered the goods last night on national TV. 5-4 in favor of the Lightning. Game 2 will be coming up tomorrow. We also saw other series get underway over the weekend. We did see the Pittsburgh Penguins falling to the New York Islanders 4-3 in overtime in Game 1. We also saw the Washington Capitals defeating the Boston Bruins 3-2 in overtime. So we got a 1-0 lead for Washington, a 1-0 lead for the New York Islanders, and now a 1-0 lead for Tampa Bay. And then we had a game yesterday that saw no score in regulation. The only goal would come in the first overtime as we saw Minnesota defeat Vegas 1-0 in overtime, the Wild taking a 1-0 lead in that series. We won't see the North Division on the ice until later this week. We will see the West Division get underway, Colorado and St. Louis. That is tonight. Also on the ice tonight is going to be the New York Islanders at the Pittsburgh Penguins for Game 2 in that series. So that sets you up for everything that happened over the weekend. That sets you up for what's going to happen tonight. And we've got Game 1 of the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes finally coming up. It was great to stretch the legs last week. It was great to get nuanced and talk about a lot of different topics and even talk about a couple of theoretical topics like a Winter Classic at Neyland Stadium and get a whole bunch of analysts involved. But now the Renegades of Puck are fully dialed in and back in the trenches. I gave everybody just a little bit of extra time off over the weekend, knowing, seeing ahead to the schedule that the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be playing this upcoming Friday and Sunday. That means if we want to do our usual flow to get a full recap and a full preview in, that means we will be doing a show sometime between the end of the game Friday night and probably early on Saturday morning. You'll just have to monitor the trenches at Renegades of Puck to make sure that you know when our special edition of Playoff Madness between games 3 and 4 will be upcoming, especially with those games being at Bridgestone Arena here in Nashville. We want to make sure we are bringing you the absolute maximum coverage because nobody does it better than the Renegades of Puck. So if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches here on Nashville Sports Radio, but we are also still fully capable of a Predneck takeover at any time that we feel necessary. Let's go back and just quickly recap the regular season stats between these two teams of the individual players before we head down to the rest of the Renegades of Puck throughout the trenches and get the analysis, the opinions, hype, and the preview for Game 1 tonight. When it comes to the Nashville Predators, the captain of the Predators led the team in scoring 48 games, skated 8 goals and 25 assists, 33 points on the season. 14 of those 33 points come on the power play. Philip Forsberg, second on the team in scoring and led the forwards. 39 games skated, 12 goals, 20 assists, good for 32 points. Those are your only two 30-point scorers on the Nashville Predators for this season. Kalle Yarncroak skated 49 times and had 13 goals and 15 assists for 28 points. Mikael Granlund also had 13 goals and 14 assists for 27 points. Victor Arvidsson had 10 goals. Tolvanen had 11 goals. Kunin ended up with 10 goals. And Rocco Grimaldi got himself to 10 goals by the end of the season. No, there is not a whole lot of impressive numbers when it comes to the Nashville Predators' individual statistics this season. But again, everything resets tonight. We saw Kunin getting hot towards the end of the season. We saw Matt Duchene putting 2 goals in the net there at the very end of the season. You never know what exactly is going to happen once the puck is dropped on Game 1 of a best-of-7 playoff series. But we will find out coming up here very shortly. UC Saros, of course, going to get the start for the Nashville Predators. He finished the regular season with 36 games, skated a record of 21-11-1, a 2.28 goals against average, and a .927 save percentage. Of course, Pekka will be the backup goaltender on the bench for the Nashville Predators. And statistically, it can get a little overwhelming to get into this Carolina Hurricanes individual stat sheet. I'll give you a couple of the highlights, but just know there are a lot of players that have much better statistics than the Nashville Predators. And when it comes to Aho, Trocheck, Svechnikov, the three of them wore out this Nashville Predators team throughout the eight-game regular season series. And, of course, those are the top three scorers for this Carolina Hurricanes team. Aho skated in every game this season, 24 goals, 33 assists, 57 points. 18 of those 57 points come on the power play. Trocheck, 47 games, still managed to get 17 goals and 26 assists, 43 points. Svechnikov, 15 goals and 27 assists, 42 points on the season. Doug Hamilton, potential Norris Trophy finalist right here, 10 goals, 32 assists, and 42 points in just 55 games from the blue line. He averages 22.43 in time on ice over the course of the season and had 16 power play assists this year. It goes on, it goes on, it goes on. Stahl with 16 goals, Niederreiter with 10 goals, Fogle with 10 goals. The Carolina Hurricanes have a wealth of offensive options and can explode in a game at any given time. That's why the Nashville Predators must remain disciplined, must keep this game evened up at 5-on-5, and must start wearing down these high-skilled, speedy forwards of the Carolina Hurricanes starting first shift of the puck drop tonight in Game 1. A wealth of options for Rod Brind'Amour in net, and we'll see what he's going to do as far as the goaltenders. We'll also talk to Mastrodamus about that coming up here shortly in the second period. Nedeljkovic, of course, exploding onto the scene this season, a record of 15-5-3, a goals against of 1.90 and a 932 save percentage. Also, Reimer and Mrazek, historically throughout their careers, have very good success against the Nashville Predators team overall. This Carolina Hurricanes team has a team-wide goals against average of 2.39 and a team-wide save percentage of 920. Highly impressive when you add to that forward grouping what this team can do and just how much they can accomplish out there on the ice. This is a very good and total team. You weren't going to win the Central Division this year if you weren't a complete team. They're fast. They also bring an element of grit and sandpaper, and they bring plenty of high skill. If Carolina Hurricanes start getting their way, the score could get out of hand, and it could happen in a hurry. But the Nashville Predators are very much looking to compete against this team, and there's no reason to believe that they cannot go out there and compete starting tonight in Game 1 of this best of 7 first-round series in the Central Division.
I'm going to make this short and sweet today. Because if you need me to get you hyped up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, check your pulse. This is the playoffs. This is the promised land. A whole new season lies ahead of us, one game at a time. And yeah, I know, pundits across the country and in Canada have picked us to lose. Canes in 5, Canes in 6, Canes in 7, ESPN, NHL Network, NBC, you name it, it's out there. But the thing is once you make the playoffs, those injuries that have been bothering you get a little lighter. Your intensity ramps up just a little bit more. The hunger boils deep down inside you, and when you're the underdog, you are hungry to prove them wrong and feed everybody more. So folks, it's game one of the new season. You don't need me. Get hype. Get in your favorite chair. Get your favorite drink. Watch with pride. And let's steal one before we come home. Now, folks, I don't get on my own platform much, but I need you to go to my Twitter page right now, at IAmUltimatePred. I'm in the running for the ultimate fan for Upper Deck Hockey, and I want to prove to the trading card world, to the hockey world, the best fans live in Smashville. So get out there, at IAmUltimatePred on Twitter. Find my pinned tweet. There is a giveaway for a random voter if I win. And if I win, I will thank each and every one of you. Get on there. Vote on the Upper Deck Hockey page. It's my pinned tweet. And let's show the world Smashville rises above all.
I'm Jussi Saros of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Redneck Nation Radio. I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. Jump in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. It's 5 o'clock on your clock. The Renegades are on the radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. Follow the show at Renegades of Puck on Twitter. Also, give us a like here, WNSR. You can do that on Facebook. And you can also follow the station on Twitter at Nash Sports Radio. And we certainly would appreciate you doing that. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators and, of course, the starting goaltenders for Game 1 tonight between the Preds and the Canes is the starting goaltender of Predators. Redneck Nation, Mostradamus. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. I'm about to talk to him on the FNM Bank phone line. Mostradamus, how are you today, my friend?
Charlie, it has been a long week of anticipation. We're finally here.
Absolutely. I am so happy to be finally talking puck drop in Game 1. Let's not waste any of the people's time. Let's jump right into it. UC Saros brought us back from break. Mosh, we know that he is going to be the starting goaltender for the Nashville Predators, so that's an easy place to start. After 36 games skated in the regular season, we all know the storyline. Very difficult, tough start. Injury, then comes back and goes on a run that could find him as a Vezina finalist. The final stats line of 21-11-1, a goals against a 2.28, a save percentage of 9.27. And Mostradamus, everybody knows about UC Saros because we have chronicled it so well throughout the season on this show. But tell me what UC Saros has been doing as of late, your concerns about the potential 9-day layoff between his last start, and also what he needs to do against this Carolina Hurricanes team to help his Nashville Predators get a victory in this first round.
Well, it's no secret. He's been the best goaltender over the second half of the season. I mean, 25 starts, .943 save percentage over that period of time. Just simply sensational stuff by him. Last Saturday against Carolina was his first career victory against them. He was 0-5-1 against Carolina's career before that, so he has not had the best numbers against them. And, of course, well chronicled how Carolina's goaltenders have fared against Nashville over their careers. But he finally got that monkey off his back. But the thing he needs to do is stick to his game. And, again, difficult to do when you have 9 days off. That was the question. Of course, once Nashville clinched, we knew Rene was going to get the start. We didn't know how long the layoff was going to be. Of course, we saw some of the games start over the weekend, but here we are Monday now, 9 days off. It is a little bit of a concern, but it's not like it's an off season where UC Saros has a ton of time between starts, you know, months and months. Yeah, even after he came back from injury a couple weeks off, he came back stronger than ever. So that's kind of where his season picked up after he had a couple of weeks off with the injury, thanks to Niederreiter, oddly enough. So he should be fine. I did have some concerns last week, thinking it over again. He's going to pick up his game right where he left off and be as strong as ever. And quite honestly, Nashville's going to need him to be that strong if they have any chance in the series.
He did have an incredibly heavy workload coming back from the injury the second half of the season and down the stretch. So hopefully the extra time off was nothing but a benefit and a positive. We'll know pretty quickly once the puck drops tonight in Game 1. Nedeljkovic exploded onto the scene for the Carolina Hurricanes this season. Mosh, but Reimer, Mrazek, both of them have classically great experience and good numbers against this Nashville Predators team, but those two goaltenders have great experience against Peter Laviolette's Nashville Predators, not John Hines' Nashville Predators. There is a difference, and it is definitely noticeable. But Nedeljkovic, we're anticipating he's going to get significant playing time, but maybe not have the longest leash out there. A regular season record of 15-5-3, a 1.90 goals against average, and a .932 save percentage. Mosh, talk to the people about your expectations from this Carolina goaltending situation, then I'll have a follow-up for you.
Nedeljkovic, I definitely think he's going to get the start. He was the stronger goaltender going down. Again, none of the goaltenders they had this season played poorly by any stretch of the imagination. He was remarkable. He's probably going to get Calder consideration as well, being one of the top five rookies, I think. Again, he's got a great team in front of him, but he's been stellar. 23 starts this season. He surrendered more than 3 goals just twice in 23 starts, and both of those were in overtime. So you're talking 60 minutes of hockey, 3 goals or less in every single start this season. Just absolutely remarkable job by him. Mrazek, you know, only had 11 starts this season due to a thumb injury. He was out a good chunk of the season. Last start versus the Preds was the only time he gave up more than 3 goals in a game this season. So this Carolina Hurricanes team, doesn't matter who is in net, they are very, very stingy. They don't give you a whole lot. And, of course, we know about their offensive prowess. And Peter Mrazek, again, 10-2 now, career record against Nashville, but it's been something to watch. When you think about Carolina, that last game against Nashville, yes, you know, it was a glorified exhibition, but don't tell the players that they played in very, very intense that night. That was about 95% of the time that Carolina trailed by more than 2 goals this season happened in that game. So they've basically gone the entire 56-game schedule almost never trailing by more than 2 goals. They are in every single game, so if you're expecting a 5-0 blowout again, as you were Monday, you are sorely mistaken. This is going to be a very, very tight game if Nashville pulls out any victories.
Great stat right there. Follow up on that, because the people are sick and tired of hearing us talk about how great this Carolina Hurricanes team is and what a wealth of options they have in net for Rod Brind'Amour. Mosh, let's start picking this team apart. Let's start finding out how the Nashville Predators are going to get the job done. What do the Preds need to do? How do they find the holes on Nedeljkovic? Talk to me about that. Give the people the strategy to look for tonight for the Predators offense to be successful.
feed off that fourth line and get traffic in front and make him uncomfortable. This is going to be his first ever career playoff appearance in the NHL. You don't know how things like that are going to make a goaltender react during the playoff series. So, yeah, Saros doesn't have a whole wealth of experience in the playoffs. He does have some starts, but not a whole lot. Nedeljkovic, first career start in the playoffs in all likelihood, and they are the prohibitive favorite. I mean, let's be honest. No pundit out there is picking anybody but Carolina to win this series, and probably rightfully so based on their recent history against Nashville. But Nedeljkovic, get traffic in front of the line. You say it's really simple to say that, but Carolina does an expert job of keeping guys out of the middle and out of the danger areas. That's where Nashville needs to make their hay. None of the point shots, again, like we talked about. I think they've finally grown out of that over the last half of the season, just firing point shots all day long. Get redirections on. That's Carolina killed them earlier this season. Dallas killed them earlier this season with deflections in front of the net. That's where Nashville needs to make their hay. Get those big bodies in front and grind out games. They can't get into a shootout against Carolina. You're going to lose that almost every single time. They don't have the offense that Carolina does.
We know the Stampede line, as John Hines has been doing as of late since the Nashville Predators turned the season around, will more than likely get the first shift of the game. We'll probably start each and every period out there. The home coach gets to set the tones and gets to set the lines. So Rod Brind'Amour will get to set those lines. But at the start of the game, we anticipate John Hines will be putting the Stampede line out there. Mosh, we've talked about an investment in pain, a potential pain monopoly by that Stampede line. Plenty of options, heavy hockey players to bring in to this lineup. Outside of the goaltending situation, what do the Nashville Predators need to do to start picking apart this Carolina Hurricanes team? And I know, Aho, Svechnikov, Trocheck, it can be pretty overwhelming at times once you look at the numbers and you consider what these players are doing. Trocheck in particular, I think, brings a particular playoff element to his game that I think that the Nashville Predators should be concerned about. But Mosh, tell me what the Preds need to do outside of in goal to beat this Carolina Hurricanes team. I think it all starts on that first shift with an investment in physical play.
Absolutely. They need to make this game a physical type series. They can't go toe-to-toe with them goal-wise. They need to put that seed of doubt in Carolina. Yes, they've got some experience on their team, but for the most part, these guys are not used to being prohibitive favorites in the playoffs. They just won their first division crown in 15 seasons. And up until last weekend, of course, completely dominated Nashville in recent years. No pundits picking Nashville. Only a few of them have even given them a chance in the series beyond even five games. So everybody's saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be Carolina. You know, that's a foregone conclusion. Let Tampa Bay and Florida beat each other up, and here comes Carolina to pick up the scraps. Nashville has shown over the last couple of months they are not going to go away quietly, and they're not going to get blown out of any arena. Carolina is very skilled, and they do have some physicality, guys that even cross the line at times, but overall that's not their game. Nashville has any chance, slow down the pace of the game, grind out victories, and stay out of the penalty box. Very key, again, seems simple enough to do. Carolina, very skilled, very fast, and very easy to take, a lazy hooking penalty or a lazy holding penalty to slow them down. They keep themselves out of the box. They have a chance in this series. But again, game one and two, get one in Carolina, put that seed of doubt in their heads, and they got a shot.
Mosh, before I let you get out of here, I want to get your comment because opening weekend of the NHL playoffs, round one, always an incredibly special time of year in the traditional calendar sense for the NHL, coming about 6 weeks later than you would normally see the first round of the NHL, so it's typically not 80-plus degrees in most of the markets when we get started with the NHL playoffs, but hey, it is, and it was a fantastic opening weekend for the NHL playoffs. I'll just go through the scores real quick, then there's the one game I definitely want to get your commentary on. It was, of course, Minnesota defeating Vegas 1-0 in overtime. It was Washington defeating Boston 3-2 in overtime to kick off the NHL playoffs. It was the Islanders with a 4-3 victory over the Pittsburgh Penguins. Damn shame what happened in the last 10 minutes of that game in overtime. Couldn't have been how the whole game was played, because that was a really, really exciting ending to that game. And, of course, Mosh, last night, the game that we have been talking about, we knew that this series was going to be incredibly intense, the 2-3 matchup in the Central Division. It delivered the goods. 5-4, Tampa Bay Lightning over the Florida Panthers. Tampa Bay takes a 1-0 lead in that series. Mosh, if there was more than a handful of whistles in that game that did not lead to a scrum and some physical play, I am absolutely shocked. We expected it, and it delivered the goods exactly as we've been describing all season long. The Battle of Florida is well underway.
We saw that at the end of the regular season, how nasty it got over the last two regular season games between Tampa and Florida, but Creighton Point, you couldn't have waited another minute and a half so we could have every single playoff game one to go to overtime? Come on, man. All joking aside, that's going to be such an intense series. We've talked about the winner of that series is going to have to do one of two things, either completely just have nothing left for round two, or that could catapult them to a Stanley Cup. Because when, if you win a battle like that and you have anything left in the tank, you have everything you need to win a Stanley Cup. So that's going to be very, very intense. Again, not sure about Bobrovsky's goaltending, whether that's going to be Bobrovsky or Grieger the rest of the way, but that's going to be such a great series to continue watching. Again, they delivered the goods. And, of course, the NHL, you know, you have all those playoff games going on, and then here's a regular season Calgary-Vancouver game at the end. So, yeah, let's put that away. Let's let them go home.
I was so confused. I flipped over to watch some highlights after I was finally done on my tape delay of watching the Tampa Bay-Florida game and breaking down that tape. And there I saw that game. I was lost, Mosh. And you already know I got hit in the head pretty hard yesterday by a tree limb. So, yeah, there's that story out there, too, which is quite hilarious. But, yes, the Battle of Florida going to deliver the goods. That's the type of game, Mosh, in the NHL we like to say it puts hooks in you. Anybody, if that was your first ever playoff game that you were watching last night, you are going to be hooked after seeing something like that. And stay with that series. Trust me, it's one you're going to watch. Mosh, I look forward to recapping Game 1, previewing Game 2. Now that the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes are finally getting underway in the series, we'll have a game every other day until its conclusion. It's a best of seven. Whoever gets to four first will be the winner in advance of the second round and face off against the winner of the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning series. So we'll be recapping and previewing. We'll be getting in a very, very consistent routine and rhythm. Them starting today right here on Predneck Nation Radio. Monster Novice will be a big part of that in the second period each and every day. If it's 5 o'clock on your clock, Monster Novice is in the trenches with the Renegades Buck. Find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. Monster Novice, appreciate you so much, my friend. Glad to finally have the puck drop.
Charlie, I'm ready. Let's do this tonight, guys.
Absolutely. He is fired up. I am fired up. The Ultimate One's fired up. You've heard from each and every one of us so far. So next, you'll hear from Sean C. Smith from OnTheForecheck.com. We've still got to check in at the Renegade Analytics session with Brian Bastin and his one big stat before the end of the show. Me, I'm facilitating the offense from each and every angle. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sports and Predneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
That's a tough question. Maybe gritty? I think that's because that's the way we're going to need to be. This is an extremely competitive team we're playing, and you know, if I think we play a physical, gritty style of game, I think it's going to make it hard on them, and hopefully that style will wear them down over the course of a series.
Colton Sissons bringing us back from break right there, and there were his comments from the media availability as he was talking to my next guest from OnTheForecheck.com. He is Sean C. Smith. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF, and on the F&M Bank phone line, he joins us now. Sean C. Smith, you heard Colton Sissons' answer to your question. He was talking about being gritty. Sean, let's just start right there. Game one, puck drop coming up very shortly. Colton Sissons, the leader of the Stampede line, says gritty is going to be one of the key components to this series.
You heard it right there. I asked Colton Sissons for one word to describe this team going into the series, and he chose the word gritty. And you know what? I'm going to take it. This season, this team has been all about identity. From before the season even started, when they hired Dan Hinote as an assistant coach, he described this gritty mindset to a T. Hinote laid out this idea. Been a cornerstone of what I've talked about all season long when I talk about this team. He said that the team needed to be the team that outworks everybody. He said they needed to focus on doing the right things from puck drop and doing those little things for the first and second period that would allow the team to thrive in the third period. And you want to know what those right things are that he mentions? He's talking about finishing checks. He's talking about forechecking. He's talking about backchecking. He's talking about setting up a wall at the blue line and basically making puck movement a pain in the neck for the opposition. That's grit. That's the team identity, and that's the identity Colton Sissons line brings to the ice every night. And that's the identity that's rubbed off on the entire team. We all expect the fourth line to be a hard-checking physical line, but that mentality has spread like wildfire across the entire team from the top line on down. Forsberg loves to play that style of hockey anyway. This has just given him an excuse to lean into it. Johansson thrives in this environment. Think back to the 2017 playoffs. Think about the series against the Ducks. You've even seen Matt Duchene laying the body on his opponents. Everyone is involved. But that style of play, while it's fun and exciting to watch, actually lends itself well to the game they need to play against the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are a fast team, and the solution to a fast team problem isn't to try to match speed with them. The solution is to slow them down. And how do you slow down a fast team? I'm not going to repeat myself. Everything I just talked about is how you slow down a fast team. You make an investment in pain. And like Dan Hynote said before the season ever started, if they do the right things all night, they'll start to profit in the third when the Hurricanes are worn down. And Colton Sissons said it. Bring the grit, bring the sandpaper, and wear them down.
I can't wait to see the investment begin on puck drop tonight. Game one between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. The Nashville Predators are the number four seed in the Central Division going into Carolina and facing off against the Carolina Hurricanes. They played 8 regular season meetings. This will be the 9th time out of the last 57 games for the Nashville Predators that they have faced off against the Carolina Hurricanes, and it is simply just the beginning. Talking to Sean C. Smith from onthefourcheck.com. Sean, Tolvanen, Fabro, we got some headlines the other day, John Hines talking about his potential, the moves he might make with the roster. He said that Tolvanen was not a guarantee to be in for the lineup. We know with everybody coming back healthy, with the number of taxi squad guys that had solid performances when given opportunities, a lot of difficult decisions to be made. Was the Tolvanen name drop just trying to light a little bit of a fire, or is there something to it, Sean? I'll let you go into it and get your thoughts out about the potential lineup changes and John Hines' tough decisions going into game one of this series.
I'm not trying to be sensational here, but John Hines made a lot of waves throughout the Predators fan community when he made comments on the radio on Friday that Tolvanen may not be in the lineup for game one. This caused a shockwave that threw a lot of people off as they looked toward tonight's game. However, he was able to address that situation during his media availability on Friday afternoon. And first and foremost, he got a major elephant out of the way by saying that the lineup would probably change from game to game. Now, this remains to be seen as I look back at the qualifying round last season where it seemed like the nightly lineup from game to game was almost set in stone. But I'm going to take John Hines at his word this time around because at this stage in the game, John Hines knows his players and knows what he has in each one of them. He also knows enough to know when they aren't performing at the top of their game. And of course, when he was asked about Elie Tolvanen, he seemed very comfortable pointing out that he didn't think Tolvanen came back from his injury the same as when he went out. And I don't think I can really argue with that. It's safe to say, I think we all thought that the return of Tolvanen and his reunion with Forsberg, Granlund, Josi, and Johansson on that first power play unit would be like throwing a Kroger bag full of gasoline into a fire. But it wasn't. Tolvanen was also absent from practice that same day as those comments were made. So it appears there's something keeping him from being back at 100%. You take that absence even just as a maintenance day, it just means he needed to rest something that was nagging him so he could return at 100%. Hines for sure said he felt like Tolvanen had another level at this stage that he could get to, and I'd have to agree. I would much rather have him miss game one and come back for game two at 100%, then I would have him come in with a nagging holdover from his injury and struggle. And while we're at it, Hines also mentioned Dante Fabro needing to find his higher gear after returning from injury as well. He mentioned needing to be quicker to execute, but didn't get into as much detail. I would not be surprised to see either or both of these players missing from the lineup tonight, but I would for sure prefer to see them both back at 100% to start the playoffs, even in game two. Hines said there would be players out for game one that probably think they should be in for game one, and that we would probably think they should be in for game one as well. But as there's been all season long, there's a heavy team focus and that those individuals would stay ready to go. So it may not be what you want to see, but there's a big part of me that wants to say that this is for the best. Now, whether that's true or not remains to be seen.
A player like Rocco Grimaldi is right there on the cutoff line. You don't know if he's going to be in or out. But what I will say about that example is when given the opportunity, he comes out there and makes his case each and every time. He does have a four-goal game this year. And most recently, when given an opportunity, we saw him come out and skate just about as fast as any Nashville Predator had skated and as hard as anyone had skated all season long. So a lot of players making their cases right now. It's been a good week of getting out there on the ice, getting some practices with this amount of healthy bodies. Look, you're going to need every one of them. The Nashville Predators have ambitions of going anywhere beyond four games against the Carolina Hurricanes. You're going need every healthy body. You're going to need every single player. It is a very long and deep war of attrition when it comes to four rounds times best of seven. A lot of tough decisions. Looking forward to see what Coach Hines is going to do. And that gives him also a wealth of options for playing a little bit of the mental games with Coach Rod Brindamore as well, being able to change the lineup, make adjustments game in and game out. Sean, I had a chance to listen to a good bit of the media availability yesterday, and you did such a great job on that, as well as everybody getting into to John Hines, and he really is an excellent head coach when it comes to the communication portion of things. Not something I can say about a lot of previous coaches that had been in this market, and I'm not just talking about the Nashville Predators. He's very willing to discuss philosophy, players, decisions that he is making. And one theme that I noticed yesterday, whether it was the coach, whether it was the players, no matter what it was, no matter how many people seem to be picking against this Nashville Predators team and pushing them to be statistically that underdog type story, Sean, this team is not buying into it, and I heard a lot of that coming yesterday. Tell me what you heard throughout that media availability.
It's been a really interesting run-up to this playoff series, and the picks are all in. All the experts have spoken. They've run their models. They've run their simulations. They filled out their brackets and locked them in, and guess what? Hardly anyone has picked the Predators to win the series, and okay, I'm not surprised. I feel like there aren't many people outside of Nashville that choose the Predators to win much of anything. But we've seen this team use the motivation of being the underdog to fuel their competitive fire and push them to victory. And here we are a few hours before puck drop, and they've been labeled the underdog once again. But here's a big twist. The team isn't really buying into what the underdog crowd is selling. Colton Sissons made it known that they are well aware of what's being said in the media, and the team is aware that Carolina is the favorite, but the Predators aren't buying into using that angle as motivation. Look, this Predators team knows who they are. For the first time in a long time, we know what we're getting when they step onto the ice. They know who they are when the puck drops, and they've been playing playoff hockey at this stage for 2 months now. They don't need to worry about any label other than their own identity. They just need to keep their heads down and go to work on the ice. I'm not into predictions because Mosh is the one from the future, but I'll say this. The Hurricanes may be the overall favorite here. And if you look back at the season series between these teams, it's really easy to believe it. But if the Predators bring the full force of their identity, which is something they didn't really have established back at the beginning of the season when a lot of this lopsidedness was going on, it's really, I think, a point where they can make that investment in pain like we've talked about before. And then this series is going to be a lot closer and a lot more exciting than all of these experts think.
He's Sean C. Smith, and his talking is all done. You can find him on Twitter at SCSOTF, and you can also find his work at ontheforecheck.com. Fantastic lead up to this series, Sean C. Smith. Certainly look forward to breaking down and recapping game one and previewing game two, starting first thing tomorrow in the trenches with you. I look forward to the people following your work, and of course, your intel will be updated throughout the day, throughout the evening, and well beyond into the late hours at SCSOTF. So I hope the people are giving you a follow. Thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate you jumping in the trenches today.
Anytime you need me, Charlie, I'll be ready to go.
You've heard from Sean C. Smith. You've heard from Mastronomous. You've heard from The Ultimate One, and you've heard from me. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonier. We'll get the Renegade Analytics Desk perspective next from Brian Bassin, also from ontheforecheck.com. He joins us to deliver one big stat next right here on Predneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio. You are in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck.
I'm Dante Fabro of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. You're in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. You've heard from Mastrodamus. You've heard from Sean C. Smith. You've heard from the Ultimate One of me. Well, I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonier, facilitating the offense from each and every angle as if I was Freddie Goudreau himself. Here to deliver me one big stat from the Renegade Analytics desk, he is, of course, from onthefourcheck.com, Brian Bastin. He joins me on the F&M Bank phone line, and he's got your one big stat for today. Brian, go ahead and deliver it to the people.
Today's one big stat is 81%. While neither player are considered the main event at their respective positions, outside of UC Saros, forward Cali Yarncroak and defenseman Matthias Ekholm have been, in my opinion, the team's MVPs this season. At 5-on-5, Yarncroak and Ekholm have been on the ice together for 13 Predators goals and only 3 goals allowed from their opponents for an on-ice goals for percentage of 81%. Now, no two teammates that played their 200 minutes or more together had a higher goals for percentage than Yarncroak and Ekholm, and the pair also managed to finish above 50% at both shot attempt and shot quality rates. Overall this season, the Nashville Predators have actually managed to keep pace with Carolina at 5-on-5, going almost goal-for-goal with the Hurricanes. And again, I know what you're thinking. Aren't those numbers just inflated by the last game? Well, no, the Predators only scored one of their 5 goals at even strength. So Carolina's slim advantage of 10-9 came mostly during the 7 meaningful regular season games. So it's easy to want to look for a breakout offensive player to lead Nashville against the heavily favored Hurricanes, but no Predator player has more than 2 goals in the 8-game series, and relying on a star to carry them hasn't really been Nashville style for some time. But what they can do is continue to play to their identity, and no two players have been as crucial to Nashville's foundation as Yarncroak and Ekholm. The pair will have to continue playing lockdown defense and both creating and converting scoring opportunities when they come. And that's why Cali Yarncroak and Matthias Ekholm are the subject of today's one big stat.
He's Brian Bastin from onthefourcheck.com, and he runs the Renegade Analytics desk. We are relying on him heavily to help us see beyond the box scores and see beyond the eye test as we go through game one into the best of 7 against the Carolina Hurricanes. Brian, incredibly great job today. Thank you for delivering the people your one big stat.
Anytime. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Brian Bastin, Sean C. Smith, Mastrodamus, the Ultimate Predator, Kay Perk, all of these incredible Renegades in the trenches today delivering you the goods. Remember, if it's 5 o'clock on your clock, the Renegades of Puck are in the trenches talking all things Nashville Predators hockey. Now, that playoff madness has fully set in. You can expect to hear from the Renegades for at least the next 6 consecutive days. After Game 1 wraps up tonight, we'll be in the trenches first thing, recapping Game 1, and we'll start previewing Game 2, which will take place on Wednesday. Game 3 will be on Friday. Game 4 will be on Sunday here at Bridgestone Arena. So, a huge weekend of hockey coming up here in Nashville this upcoming weekend. The Renegades of Puck will be in the trenches for a special edition of Prednik Takeover on Saturday, so make sure you are preparing for that. Game 5 would take place on Tuesday, the 25th. Game 6 would take place on the 27th, and Game 7 would take place in Carolina on the 29th. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. It has been an incredible honor previewing Game 1 of the Nashville Predators versus the Carolina Hurricanes and talking all things NHL playoffs with you this morning. On the way out, I'll leave you with just a little bit of a funny. Most of the Renegades have heard this throughout the show, and some of you might have even caught on just a little bit. My speech is not exactly the best today, and I'm having a little bit of difficulties. And why exactly is that? Well, let me tell you very quickly. I was trying to take my own advice. I was trying to get each and every one of the projects done. I was trying to go around and knock off everything on the list, because you never know. Once the puck drops tonight, you might be looking at it 2 months without being able to cut the grass, without being able to do any of those things. So as I'm knocking down the list, as I'm getting things done, I'm just about to the end, and then suddenly, bam, I'm out cold because I catch a tree limb right to the face. I don't know how much it weighed, but I do know that it's left about half of my head swollen today, my eye blinking a little bit weird, and my jaw is incredibly, incredibly hurt. It took me an extra couple hours to write the show and break down the games last night because, well, I got myself knocked out by my own to-do list before playoff madness can fully set in. Enjoy that for what it is, Renegades. It was an honor to be in the trenches with each and every one of you today here on Prednik Nation Radio. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny, for Sean C. Smith, for Mastrodamus, for the Ultimate One, for Brian Bastin, for Kay Perk, for Rebirth Sports, for Stripe Digital Solutions. This has been Prednik Nation Radio. You have been in the trenches with the Renegades of Puck. Stick taps. Love. Respect. We'll be right back.